Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson with the Clemson MBA program coming to you live from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. Today, we're not joined by one of our students or alum, as you've typically heard in the past. We're actually joined by Nick Lincoln, who is the owner of Urban Wren, a new winery coming to Greenville and going to be a part of the downtown scene in terms of entrepreneurship and a new local restaurant. So, Nick, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you here today.
It's great to be here.
So, as you know, we have the MBAE program, which has a focus in entrepreneurship and innovation. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we've always been really interested in. So tell me a little bit about your background first and how you got into entrepreneurship.
I am originally from New Hampshire, and I moved down here to Greenville for a manufacturing job. I was with a company. We were building parts for GE, and essentially I just came down here with a new opportunity, a new job, tried to help build that location, and with the hopes that Greenville is going to be a new, home base for me. New Hampshire was great, but the economy wasn't that great, and so I wanted a place that was thriving and growing, and Greenville always sounded like that place, so I really wanted to be down here in Greenville. So I moved down here with that job, and I've absolutely loved living here. I've been down here for 3 years, and it's been a great experience. And I knew that I just wanted to be here, and I was going to make this my home. And where I was working, it wasn't really my passion or my love and what I really wanted to do, and I was still kind of figuring that out anyway. So it was something to pay the bills. It was something that allowed me to live a lifestyle that I wanted to live, and that was just part of my journey and getting down here to Greenville. So it was a goal for me to move down here for about 3 years, and finally I was able to make that move.
So have you always had this entrepreneurial spirit about you? Because you definitely come from a corporate background, right? You said you came down here for a job in manufacturing. So how were you able to kind of pivot into starting your own business and coming up with this idea that you have?
I'd like to say that I'd always had an entrepreneurial spirit, but I didn't always. It was something that was brought up to me when my dad first bought a business. I was working maintenance at a hotel and, just working, typical jobs through college. And he came to me one day and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about owning your own business?" And I said, "Nope, not at all. Never crossed my mind." And he goes, "You should really think about it." And he goes, "Something that you could potentially do." And so that's what really got my mind thinking around that. And so still going to college, I went to school for communications with a focus in video production. So when I was finishing my senior year of college, I decided to, with the help of a mentor, start a video production company, making promotional videos and trying to do some sort of marketing aspect for companies and their websites and to have a nice added feature to their websites. So I was working with a local IT company and trying to build that experience for his websites that he was building for local companies. And it was a great job through college. It was just something I wasn't passionate about. I like the film aspect of video production. I didn't so much like the marketing and doing it for businesses. And so I realized quickly that wasn't going to be my path. And so I met with a group of mentors right after college and said, I just need to figure out what's going to be best for me. I had taken some time off during college, so loans hit me the second I graduated college, and I was like, I really just need to pay the bills. So I ended up just working for my dad's company in manufacturing. That's really where it started. I worked on the shop floor just cleaning parts, putting parts together. It was very simple, mindless kind of work. And the first day I stepped into that shop that day, I knew that I wasn't going to be doing that for very long. I just couldn't mentally handle it. So that's when I really started thinking, all right, what more can I do outside of this? And so I used that time and just decided that was the time I was going to put in for myself, to build myself up, to grow, and learn more business side of things. You know, I didn't go to school for business. It was all communications, and yeah, there were business classes and marketing classes, but for me, it's nicer to have hands on than it is to just sit and learn in the classroom. So it is nice to get a little bit more than what you can just pull from a classroom, to actually have that experience. And so to be able to train under my dad, who was just a very gut intuition kind of business owner. Mm-hmm. I was really able to pull a lot from him and learn and work with him every day. And, you know, doing small engineering jobs and running a plant in New Hampshire, that's really what brought me to where I felt like I could do something more on my own. But again, it was trying to find something that I was passionate about, that I really wanted to do. And I just knew that also wasn't going to be in New Hampshire. So I was trying to figure out that right space and figure out what I wanted to do. I had one mentor who I worked with at the IT company who told me something one day, and he said, you know, find something that you love to do and figure out a way to make money doing it. And I've always just kind of kept that in the back of my mind. And I've known that when I find something that I really enjoy, that I love, you don't have to work. It's fun every day. And it's just living that nice work-life balance. And you shouldn't live to work, you shouldn't work to live, but just having a nice balance between everything.
And so you love wine.
I do.
So this works out great. So tell us about the restaurant. Tell us about the winery aspect of it and what we can expect, because it will be opening in Greenville November-ish timeframe?
Yeah, sometime around November, December.
Okay.
Right now we're in the middle of construction, trying to build it all up and doing a bunch of structural redesign and using a really, really neat space called Markley Station. It's an old train station, old warehouse, and nice brick and wood and beam, you know, kind of look to it. And we want to make sure that we uphold that look. And so the idea for the restaurant and how we got into the restaurant was we went on a trip to Napa Valley. It was a family trip. We had a friend that was getting married out in Napa. So we decided to take a trip out there. And, you know, I had wine before, and, you know, I was more of a whiskey person, scotch person. That was my thing. But with more wine that we had in Napa, the more I realized, wow, I could drink this a lot more often. And just to be able to go through the tours and see the wineries and how they do everything. And people are just so passionate about what they do and how they enjoy wine. And it's more than just, you know, a liquid in a bottle. It's an art. It's something a little bit more. And so the more we went on these tours and learned all these things, I was just able to absorb all of it, and I loved it. And so I knew from that point, I was just like, I could really get into wine. And then what followed that up was a trip to Italy. And same thing. And being here in Greenville, there's a lot of great places to eat. There's a huge food and wine scene. I just came to me one day, and you know, what a great place to do something like that. And, you know, when I first met my fiance, we had talked on our first date saying, oh, it'd be great to, you know, one day have a wine and cheese shop. And little did we know that there was a winery that we had met with in Italy, and they wanted to sell their wine in the U.S. So we were like, well, we'd love to sell it for you. And it's a small family-owned vineyard. It's just something that they wanted to do. And we said, you know, we'd love to help you with that. And so that's really where the idea started, and it really multiplied, you know, by a lot. But that's really where it all started. How could we create an experience, a winery experience, for people in Greenville, mm-hmm. that can't necessarily go to Napa or can't go to Italy, Spain, France, you know, any of the big wine regions? Because wineries are a very, very fun, cool experience. And to be able to sit down and do a wine tasting, it makes wine less intimidating. It becomes approachable. And that's really what we were looking to do, is to create a wine and food pairing experience that's approachable, not intimidating. You know, every wine is different, and you're not going to know what you like unless you try it. And there's a lot more to wine than just, you know, having it be red or white, or if it's Napa Valley or France. There's a lot of elements to wine, and it can be very intimidating very quickly. So we're hoping to bring a winery experience to Greenville, similar to what everybody's doing with the craft breweries. Mm-hmm. They're popping up all over Greenville, and every new development that's coming up in Greenville, it's a brewery concept and a restaurant concept. Well, that's kind of what we're trying to go for, and we're hitting both sides of it. So I think primarily we're going to be a restaurant with a wine and food pairing experience, but we'll also have our own in-house wine that we're making. And so we're going to hit on both aspects, and hopefully people will enjoy that.
So have you made wine before, or is this something new that you're diving into?
This is something new that I'm diving into. It's it was not really the original intent. We were going to hire a winemaker and have, you know, a winemaker come in and show us how to do it. And I really wanted to be a part of it to learn myself. But we spoke with a winemaking consultant, and he told us, really, every winemaker out there in the world is going to work for you for a year, maybe two. And then you're going to have to try to find another winemaker. It's just the way the industry is. And your best bet is just to learn how to do it yourself. Go out there. He said he'll be with us, you know, side by side and showing us how to make wine. And then after, you know, 2 years, he said you'll be pretty much good to, or at least have a good enough knowledge to be able to do it on your own and really understand what works, what doesn't work, and be able to play around with it. Because that's really what most winemakers are doing at this point. They're playing around with flavors and very much the same way that craft beer is also doing the same thing. They're aging in bourbon barrels. They're having fun just trying to age, you know, to age wine. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to have fun with it. We're going to age in American oak barrels. We're going to play with a few different types of toasts in those barrels. And we'll have bourbon barrels that we're going to be aging wine in and just seeing what flavors we can pull from it. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And it's not something that that we want to, you know, be over the top serious with and use language that isn't approachable. We want to have people come in, understand it, learn what we're doing. And at the end of the day, have a good quality wine, because we'll be pulling grapes from wine regions that are meant to have, you know, wine growing grapes. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we're looking to do.
Well, and I love that. And you know, what's really interesting to me is you talk about kind of the culture that usually surrounds wine, right? Mm-hmm. And how it's not exactly as laid back as the breweries, and you want to give this experience where people are comfortable and trying new things and experiencing it. And so how wonderful to have you there to kind of help them through this process. And we're about to help me through this process because you've been so kind to bring some wine to our podcast today, which, by the way, everybody in the future, like, bring wine. This is the fun part. But anyway, the bottle that you brought, I believe, is actually from who you're partnering with in Italy. So before we even get to tasting, I want to hear about this wine and maybe the reasoning behind why you started to work with this group.
So this is the bottle that I brought is from a winery called Poggio Rubino. It's a small family-owned vineyard. They don't have a whole lot of acres, but they have a nice, beautiful property right in Montalcino, which is a beautiful winemaking region right in Italy, right in the Tuscan region.
Sounds miserable. Yeah.
Beautiful sunsets, you know, the whole deal. So, but it really is. It's just a great wine, a great passionate family. It's been passed down generation to generation, and they're not trying to go commercial with it. They're just trying to make a good quality product that people are going to love. And so we went there on our first trip to Italy and as a family. And we just enjoyed the experience, enjoyed the wine. This was our favorite wine that we had when we went. And we just stayed in touch with the family. They were very nice enough to put on a private family dinner. The grandmother of the winery, Roberta, actually made us a home-cooked Italian meal. I mean, it was unreal. We just had the most amazing experience, and so we got to know this family, and we really enjoyed and loved this family. And the more and more we sit down and drink, most of the time we're drinking this wine. And so really, they had contacted us about wanting to sell wine and partner with some of their partners in Italy with cheese and meats, and they wanted us to just help be a part of their family, essentially. And so we went back for another visit and worked out all the details and figured out that, well, we can figure out how to sell your wine, and we'll be the only people selling it in the U.S. And
wow.
It's a really neat experience, and that's really what got us started on this path. And but yeah, they're just a really, really wonderful family. So this is a Brunello di Montalcino. It's a Reserva. It's from 2012. It's a It's a great wine. If it's a Brunello coming from Montalcino, only Brunellos can only come from Montalcino. But it's a long process in how they do this. So it's aged in a barrel for 6 years and then bottled for another year. It's a DOCG label, which is going to the highest standard of quality for Italy. It's anything and everything you want from a nice, strong red. You can have it with a steak. I mean, the winemaker actually made his own steak for us and cut it all up. He's an artisan. So he's just super excited about making a steak and food. And he's very passionate about his food and his wine pairings. And so we get to have some great experiences. And we just want to be able to replicate some of those experiences that we've had like that with wines like this and be able to showcase a wonderful wine from a great family. This is a great wine and a great piece that we're about to have.
That's amazing. So let's cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Let's cheers. All right, let's try it.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
It is very good. So tell us what we're supposed to be tasting, because something else that everybody needs to know is that you're studying for your sommelier.
Yes.
So you're going to have on-site sommeliers at your location.
We will. So we're going to have on-site sommeliers that are going to be leading up our wine and food pairing. And really, we're trying to keep it as simple as possible. For the people that really do know wine, we want to make sure that we have experienced people that can speak to them. But for the most part, we know that people are primarily inexperienced with wine or may just know the basics. And so we want to be able to push people's knowledge and help them learn if they want to learn it. If not, if they just want to come and drink, we're great with that too. But this is a nice deep red. It's from a Sangiovese grape. It's going to be great with any type of red meat. The way that it's aged and it's just meant to be similar to what you're going to get from like a cab. It's going to be a little bit heavier of a red, and that's just because of the barreling process. It's aged in French oak, and the fact that it's aged for 6 years, it makes it a nice strong wine. Mm-hmm. But we'll be able to have people who can come in and learn about the stories of the winemakers and the wines that we'll present. And this is just going to be one of the many wines that we have. We're going to have wines from all over the world. We want to have Argentinian, Spain, Chilean. We want to have wines from all over the world that can pair with different foods. And so we'll have a very international menu that's just going to be a fun experience, because you don't get to always have food from other cultures and still have the wine that goes with them. But not only that, but have wines from, you know, maybe from Spain that would go really well with, a southern dish or something, you know, something that's very homey to people here, but it would go really well with some sort of French wine. And that's really what we want to play around with and just have fun with food and wine. So people can go home and know, I know this French wine that I can go pick up from, you know, the Urban Ren and bring home and have it with my, you know, chicken and waffles tonight. You know, that's really kind of what we want to play around with. And we're going to have an amazing chef. We're working on hiring a chef right now. But we'll have a great staff of very knowledgeable people between sommeliers, our bar managers, our consultants that are helping us do this. They're really kind of helping us put us in the right direction to make sure that we do everything right and do things right by the people in Greenville, because we really want to bring a great experience.
Well, and tell us more about the atmosphere of the restaurant. So I know we have talked before about the bar being really big and a lot of seats at the bar. So kind of as we walk in, walk us through what we're going to experience just in terms of atmosphere and kind of event space too.
Sure. So when you walk in, it'll be at Markley Station. It's a beautiful brick building, like I said, post and beam. And you'll walk in, you'll see kind of our winemaking area. It's going to be directly in front of you. We'll have barrels that are on the back wall being stored in a nice, you know, climate-controlled room behind some glass. And then really probably the first thing you'll see is the bar. We'll have a very big bar that's kind of right in the center of the restaurant. And that'll be a great place for people to come and sit, relax, enjoy. It's going to be very casual, but with a I don't want to say a fine dining experience, but more of an upscale dining, to have some great food that's going to pair well with different wines. And, you know, for as much as we talk about wine, we'll also pair with bourbons. We'll pair with, you know, some of the beers that we have on tap. So it's going to be very much centered towards wine, but at the same time, it's going to be towards bourbons, towards scotches, any type of whiskey, really. So you'll see that bar, you'll see kind of lounge seating. And we want to keep it very casual. We want people to feel at home and welcome and to just come in, have a few bites to eat, whether they want to have a full meal or just a snack before they maybe go out and have a dinner someplace else, or maybe before they go over to Floor Field for a drive game, you know. We want to make sure that people can come in just casually, have some fun, have some good conversation, whether that's with our staff or with their friends. We want to really just open it up for people to come in and just relax and have a good time, you know, put the stress away from the week and have some great wine, have some great food. And then on top of that, we'll have the event space upstairs. So when you first walk in, there'll be a staircase going to the upstairs, and it'll be a nice big open event space, so we can have weddings, corporate events, anything and everything. It seats about 168 people. Wow. So it'll be a nice big event space, and full bar up there, and full service everything, and we'll have it be one, you know, inclusive package. So it's a really nice space, and it sticks with that same theme of the, you know, the urban, industrial, rustic kind of feel. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice little piece of property that's, you know, right in the west end of downtown.
And there's parking.
And there's a lot of parking. There's a lot of parking, which is very nice. We have four different lots that are kind of associated with Markley Station. You know, some of them will be pay for parking, but it'll be, you know, $1 after 2 hours. So it's not like anything else in Greenville where you have to go find a parking garage and go someplace else. We have open parking lots across the street, next door, and then on the other side of the train tracks from us. So it's convenient. It's easy. Drive right in, walk right up, you know, grab a wine, grab a meal. Or if you want to grab a pizza from Todaro's and have a glass of wine, that's fine with us too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Partnering with everybody else in the area too.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's such a Greenville thing, right?
It is.
Sharing the love.
It is. Yeah. It's a great experience, and we're happy to see that Greenville is growing in the direction that it is. And it's a big reason why we're doing this in Greenville.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's really interesting that you're not from here originally. So you moved down and you just obviously fell in love with the place and thought, this is where I want to, you know, start my business, really open this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are people listening right now that maybe were in your shoes before, that have a job, you know, that they're not necessarily like, this isn't my passion, this isn't my calling. So what advice would you give, or what would you say kind of maybe are the most important things or skill set to kind of make that shift from being in a corporate role, a manufacturing role, whatever it is, to really taking that leap to starting your own business?
I think work ethic has to be number one. Mm-hmm. It's the first and primary thing, because if you don't have the work ethic, if you're not going to try hard at a job that you don't necessarily love, you're probably not going to try hard at a job that you do love. And the reason I say that is because every job you love, there's always the things that you hate. There's always that balance between doing the stuff that you love and doing stuff that you don't. You know, we've noticed with starting a restaurant, all the paperwork, all the licensing, all the things that you really don't care to do. I want to open up a wine shop. I want to sell wine and cheese and have people come in and have a great time. But there's so many other aspects to it that, you know, all the financial side of it, all the paperwork and licensing and making sure that you have everything up to code. There's so much to it, and it's not necessarily the fun side of it. But with the right work ethic, you know, you're still going to get it done, and you're going to do everything you need to make sure that it's going to be running and successful. So work ethic is definitely the biggest thing for me. If you can do the things and work hard at the things that you don't love doing, then at least you know that you can really enjoy the things that are easy and fun.
Well, and in terms of support, Greenville being a huge entrepreneurial city, how have you gotten support from other entrepreneurs in the area, other small businesses?
With a lot of it, we've seen just a lot of good feedback, really. Mm-hmm. You know, with we go to a lot of different restaurants here in Greenville and just kind of check out the scene, just because that's the industry we're going into. Mm-hmm. And everyone who we've spoken to about it has been really supportive and helpful. And you know, we've reached out to other, you know, leaders in the restaurant industry in the area, have talked to them about our idea, and they're like, wow, no, that's not something already here in Greenville. That should really work, and especially with that area that you're in. And they've been very, very supportive. And I think Greenville is just a place where they love to see the growth. They love to see entrepreneurs of any age just come in and say, hey, I really want to do this, and I really want to make this work. And as long as you're willing to put in the work, I think they're happy to see that something new is coming in, something it doesn't even have to be a new concept. It just has to be new to Greenville half the time. And I think people are just happy to see that, because Greenville is a city of a lot of things. It's a city of, you know, the festivals. It's a city of the young entrepreneurs trying to make something of themselves. The corporate world that's now kind of come in and really done a nice job with helping to grow Greenville to where it is. But Greenville's also still focusing on the small business owner and wanting people to buy local, to buy the idea of locally small family-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. So even though you have that big corporate structure and that's kind of backing and helping Greenville, they've recognized that there's something personal to Greenville. You have the local residents that have been here for years, and but then again, you have the people like me who have moved to the state and love what they're doing with the economy, with this great city. And I think Greenville's just happy to accept anyone and everyone. It comes from, you know, the changes that happened 20 years ago to make Greenville what it is today, and the plans for the future. So I think everybody as a whole, I mean, anybody you talk to in Greenville, they're very happy to see any new concept, and they're very supportive of anything new. And if you're willing to put in the work and do it right, then they're here to help.
Well, even the knowledge you bring to it, because as I'm sitting here sipping this lovely wine that you've brought us, you know, I wouldn't call myself the most sophisticated palate, but I can taste like the barrel age. Like
yes,
I can taste it.
You can.
And so I'm actually really proud of myself in this moment. But I really think that as you tell me the story of the family that produced this wine, you know, that's something that's going to really intrigue people in the restaurant, is you'll be able to tell these stories. You've met the people. Mm-hmm. You've had meals with these people. You know all of the pairings. And I think that that's a really interesting concept when it gets down to it, because if you're a people person like me, you're drawn to the story that comes with the whole concept too.
Absolutely. And we're going to be bringing these winemakers to the U.S., and we'll even be pulling winemakers from the U.S., whether it's Oregon or California, and they'll be coming in and telling us about their wines. And they love doing that. And we want to make Greenville the wine city in South Carolina. I mean, Charleston kind of has that title right now, and we would love if Greenville could get a little more recognition and get some bigger winemakers to come in and speak about their wines, and be able to have that wine mm-hmm. winery experience that you get in all these great wine regions, but right here in Greenville.
And I love that you're a champion of this. So, you know, you're really starting this concept coming through. And I would love to see Greenville on the map in terms of wine going forward. And it'll be interesting
Absolutely.
To see, as you create your own label and your own wine, what that kind of turns into.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. We're excited for the entire adventure. I mean, it's something that, you know, 2 years ago, I don't know that we ever thought this is what we would be doing. But it's something that's progressed very quickly, and we're surrounding ourselves with the right people to make it work. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, to know your strengths, to know your weaknesses, and just make it work. Figure out the best way to make it happen.
And I think that's such great advice for a young entrepreneur, is surround yourself with people that are going to help and support. Because I'm sure it's hard and a little daunting at first.
It
to
is.
Say, how am I going to pull this all together? Because like you said, you know, I love that your background is communications. And I also love that you have that creative side with the video production.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you walk into the empty, you know, right now it's kind of a blank canvas, and you kind of
right.
can visualize what you want. But then you said you didn't really like the marketing piece, so you need to bring people in on that end of it.
Absolutely.
To focus on the other things. So how important that is to really bring in people, and almost, has it been hard to let go of some of the stuff? Because this is your baby.
A little bit here and there. I mean, it's really tough to take criticism. Especially when you envision this entire thing in your head. I mean, originally this started off as a wine and cheese shop. That was really it. And then we found the space at Markley Station. We're like, wow, this is such a beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. what else can we kind of do with this? And then came up the idea of doing an urban winery. Then from there, it kind of transitioned, well, wine's going to take 2 years to age and make, you know, into a good quality wine. Let's have a more of a food aspect to it. Then the food kind of became the primary side of it, and the winery became the secondary. So there was a huge mental shift, you know, all throughout this process. And really, to try to take a step back and try to take feedback and say, you know, to whoever. I mean, it was my fiance, my parents, people locally in the community. It was asking, you know, what's really going to work with this area. And to be able to take that feedback and take it well and to create a business plan and envision the whole thing and then to hire these consultants that are also helping us with it. It doesn't always end up being your complete vision at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, what I'm hoping is that when we sit down and open this up in November, December, that it's going to be this fun wine food experience. And the people who come in are having that vision that you initially had, and it's that wine food pairing experience. And really, that's really what it comes down to, is that's the goal. The little details and things like that you plan out. Oh, you know, we definitely want this concrete countertop, and well, if we don't have the concrete countertop, it's not going to look the same. It doesn't matter. It's really the experience, and we want to create a food and wine experience, and that was always the mission. So to be able to say that's happened come November, December, then I will be a very happy person.
Well, and I love to hear you say about accepting feedback, because that's really hard for all of us to do, and criticism for that matter, especially when it's your own business and it's something that you've dreamed about for all these years. You want it to be a certain way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of our entrepreneurs in our programs have kind of faced that adversity when, you know, there's a little bit of criticism or advice where it's like, okay, I can either change some things to move forward, or I'm going to have to change my idea altogether. So I appreciate you sharing what that means to you in terms of getting criticism, but also ciphering through it yourself to realize what you can keep and what to get rid of. In fact, I have a quote that I have hanging in my office that I mean, I look at it every day and laugh, but it's so true. It says, you can't make everyone happy. You are not pizza.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give you that. You need to hang that in the restaurant.
I like that.
But I think that, you know, it's something to always think about. You're not going to make everybody happy, but
right.
You can take the criticism. And if it is something that you can change or adapt, great. But, you know, I feel like you know what the concept is that you want and how to move forward with it. And we are so excited for you to open and to support you. And we know that the Greenville business community will as well, because it's such a great concept and it's such a great space.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, and I know that you haven't opened yet, but just this far in your journey, what are you most proud of? So I feel like you have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, I think, I'd say I'm most proud of thinking back, you know, 10, 15 years ago and what I envisioned my life being and what I wanted to do, and to see where I'm at now. It was never something that I was supposed to be a leader. I was never something I was supposed to be, you know, running a company. I was happy working. You know, I would have been happy with anything. I'm happy doing so many different things. There wasn't one thing in particular that I was super passionate about. I mean, I changed my major 3 times in college. It was just, I could have been a police officer, been happy. I could have been, you know, behind a camera, and I would have been happy. It was more about the life that I was living and with the people I was surrounding myself around and having a good time that I really cared about. So to be able to come to a place where I'm getting into something I'm passionate about and find something that I really enjoy doing every day, and being able to make money doing it and to work doing it every day and surround myself around it and really have a brand that I can wrap myself around and back and support, that's really what I'm most happy about. To be able to say, you know, the Urban Rent is my brand. It's not who I am, but it's something I can back and support and hopefully other people can see that and see what kind of restaurant and environment that we're going to be, because obviously we want the people, our guests, to come in and have a great time, but our staff too, because for as long as I was in manufacturing, you know, it wasn't always my favorite job or position in the world, but I know that goes for most wait staff too. You know, for anybody who's bussing tables, for anybody who's serving people at a table or working behind a bar, it's not the most fun job in the world. But if we can make an enjoyable experience for even our staff to expand their knowledge, to learn about wine or mixology or food, we want to be able to be that learning center for them too. So for as much as we want to be able to give our guests a great experience, we want to make sure our employees are just as happy with the experience that they're having. And it's not to say every day is going to be great, but to be able to try to make every day enjoyable. And that's really what we want to be able to do for everybody. And hopefully I can be that person who's driving and enforcing that. Cause it's not always easy to go to a job that you hate, but it's a much better day if you can go into a job that you at least know that you enjoy, why you're going.
Well, and culture and leadership means so much, and mm-hmm. and for your employees and for just the overall staff to know that you have their back, that you want them to have as good of an experience as the customers, I think is an amazing, amazing starting point. So, Nick, we're just thrilled for you, and we wish you all the best. We really do, and we're so excited. I mean, I wish November would get here faster.
Us too.
I'm sure you do too, because there's a lot of work yet to be done.
There is.
And on top of that, I just want everybody to know that you are also, you have some other big plans in your life in November as well. So Nick's a busy guy. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So I am engaged and am planning our wedding right now, and we're getting married on November 1st. So if, opening up a new restaurant, it wasn't enough. We decided to also get married. When I moved down here, I would hope to eventually meet, the love of my life, and I ended up meeting her. And she moved up here on a whim. She's from Jacksonville, Florida, and we knew from the very beginning that it was something different. So back in July of last year, we got engaged, and so it's been just a great experience, and she's just happy to be a part of it in whatever capacity that she can. And she's there supporting me with everything that I'm doing, and she's been absolutely amazing. I get to marry Haley in November.
That's amazing. So yeah. Get married, open a restaurant. Yeah. So you must handle pressure well.
For the most part, yeah. Just kind of take it day by day, But obviously we wanted the restaurant open a lot earlier than what it's going to be. But with the way plans change, and you just have to adapt. And you mentioned adapt earlier, and I think that's huge for any person, any entrepreneur, is just being able to adapt to a situation. And as long as you can adapt, you're better off for it, and just approach every day with an open mind, and whatever comes at you, just gotta kind of play with it and figure out what's gonna work and what's not. And that's pretty much where we're at with planning a wedding and opening up a restaurant. So, it's playing it day by day, and just knowing that it's a blessing just to have another day.
That's amazing. So all of you out there that think you're busy, just think about Nick right now. But really, I'm welcome to the Greenville business community. We're so thrilled.
Yeah,
we're
excited.
Thrilled to have you here, and we are so excited to support you and see where this takes you. And, just enjoy. I mean, I feel like this is a great intro to how much we can enjoy coming in and feeling welcomed and a part of what you're trying to provide to the city. So I want to thank you for that. Like I said, we wish you the best from the Clemson MBA program and Greenville community. And we can't
thank
wait
you.
To see what's next.
Yeah, no, we're excited. So. We're hoping for great things.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us in One. Have a great day.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.